I'd like to speak about the original recipe this morning. I'd like to begin, though, with Proverbs 31, with a very familiar passage of Scripture, Proverbs 31, verse 30. And it said, "Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall," what? "Be praised." Favor's deceitful. You know, people are in favor, out of favor. We see it in the news, in politics. Beauty is vain. You know, the prettiest, boys, listen up now. The prettiest girl in high school may not be the prettiest when she's 40. Beauty is vain. Beauty comes and goes. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That is something that time will only enhance. And I have also found that, again, as the scripture says, beauty is so fading. I remember one time, I think it was my dad pointed out, we were having family worship, and, you know, a dad to his sons, and he said, "Have you ever seen, you know, maybe a woman that maybe she looks on the outside, you say maybe she was attractive, and then see her pull out a cigarette, or just see her do something that was just dirty and ugly? She's not pretty anymore, is she?" You know that it's women that love the Lord and fear the Lord, the outside is so unimportant. May the Lord help all the young people to get hold of that. The outward man, the outward woman is so unimportant in comparison to the value of a woman that puts her trust in faith in God. And so part of what we are here today, and this is the official Mother's Day of our country, but it was God that instituted motherhood. And so I don't think that we are, unlike many of the holidays that maybe really aren't appropriate to give a lot of credence and time to, Mother's Day is something I believe the Lord's pleased for us to honor our mothers. And I just want to especially say again to the mothers and to our mothers by blood and our mothers in the church, thank you all so much for your godly beauty. Thank you for your love for God. You are important to us, and your sacrifices, and sometimes they're quiet. Most of the time, they're just quiet, consistent sacrifices. And it is so meaningful to us. And I want you all to know that we greatly appreciate, we love you this morning. Appreciate the fact that there are still women, and I'm going to take a step down from motherhood. There are still young women that have a desire to put God first in their life. And I will say, and I again say to the young men, there is nothing more beautiful than a young woman that has dedicated her life to God and following Him with all of her heart. And I want the girls to know this morning, holy living is beautiful. It's beautiful. And you may say, well, that sounds a little fleshly. You all remember one of Zachary's friends that came here a few years ago, Edson. And he'd never been around the church, and he came, and his comment was this. He said, "Wow." He said, "The girls in your church are," he said, "they are beautiful. They're just glowing." Do you know what that is? Do you know where that glow comes from? It comes from the presence of the Lord in your life. The world has so tainted the outward person, and so many people are putting value on that. It doesn't give the true beauty of how God created us. So I just want you sisters to know, keep following the Lord. You are beautiful inside and out, and I trust that God will just reward you. So you sisters, you younger ones especially, stay the course. Stay the course. Don't let the enemy cause you to deviate from that course of holiness. "A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." She shall, and here's the interesting thing, that word "praise" there means to shine. And I hadn't even planned to talk about what Edson said. But that woman shall shine. And we celebrate that. We remember that, and we glory in that today. My mother, is a wonderful cook. Now, I've written on the board original recipe. I just want to share with you an original recipe this morning. Now, I'm going to preface it with this. I'm going to give a little more detail. I'm not going to get in the kitchen and whip something up today because I don't have the ability to do it. But there is an original recipe I can share with you. My mother's a very good cook, and my wife is a very good cook, and my daughter's a very good cook. They can whip something up, and it tastes good, and I've been blessed, and if you couldn't tell, I've been the recipient of many good meals and good baking. But you know, a good meal doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen by itself. A good meal doesn't happen by my mother or my wife or my daughter sitting on the couch eating out of a bag of potato chips and eating bonbons and reading a book and saying, well, the meal is, hopefully it'll something will appear on the table here in a little bit. It doesn't happen that way. It comes about by getting up and doing something. It takes action. It takes energy, and it takes getting some ingredients together and mixing and putting a little bit of this and a little bit of that and cooking it to that right temperature. You know what I'm talking about? That right, for the right time. And you come out and you get something good. Well, sometimes you can add or subtract to a recipe. When I got married, and I don't think I've once, and if I have, I was going to say, mother forgive me, wife forgive me. I don't think I've once said, well, that just doesn't taste like my mama's. Brethren, here's a little hint for you. Don't do that. But I will say when we got married, my wife, and this is a good little tip for you sisters, my wife on her own, not out of my pushing, she went to my mother and asked her, what are some of the things that Michael likes to eat? Would you share with me those recipes? Those things that were comfort food. And so, chicken squares are comfort food. When I've come back from Africa, more than one time, Renee had chicken squares waiting. Because I grew up eating chicken squares, and it's pretty hard to beat good chicken squares. And so, my wife learned to make chicken squares. It's comfort food. That's home. And now it's not just mom, it's my wife. That's home when she makes chicken squares. Zucchini pie. I don't know how many of y'all have had zucchini pie. I'm not a big zucchini person. But don't turn your nose up. And here's a little lesson before we really get into this original recipe. There are sometimes people say, oh, I don't like that. And I said, well, have you ever tasted it? No, but I don't like that. Do you know that's pretty naive and foolish? For people to say, I don't like that, and you've never even tried it. There is a recipe that I want to share with you this morning, and it's actually in the Bible. There is a recipe that it's wonderful when it's done like it says it. Because sometimes recipes, I took a recipe a while back, and I don't spend a lot of time in the kitchen, but I took a recipe and I thought I would add to it. And I thought I would adjust it, and I think I made some good adjustments, but I'll tell you what, I made too many good adjustments, and it didn't turn out right. So if I ever do that again, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to go back to the original. And I don't want to go back to something that someone said, well, here's my recipe, and I've kind of adjusted it to my taste. Your taste or not my taste, is that right? We all have different tastes, and we all have different preferences, which means when you get an original recipe, it means this is authentic. This is foundational. This is the real thing. It's not because my wife said, well, I like it this way, so I add a little bit of extra cayenne pepper, and Sister Tammy said, well, Brother Randy doesn't quite like this ingredient, so I didn't put tomatoes in it. And maybe you like tomatoes, but anyway, I you know, adjustments. We can all make adjustments. But which one are we gonna get out? So let's give the original. Because the original works. The original works. Well, when you eat something that's good, you say, well, that hit the spot. It's not experimental. You know, some people, you say, well, what recipe did they follow? And they say, well, I don't have a recipe. I just kind of put a dash of that and a splash of that and a little bit of this and dumped a little bit of this. It turned out pretty good this time. But the problem is, if you want to duplicate something, if you want to duplicate something, you've got to have a recipe. You've got to have it written down. So someone, you know, when someone like me comes along and says, how do you do that? And say, well, just put a little bit of that. And I'm like, what's a little bit? And you say, well, you just put a dash of that in there. Well, what's a dash to you? Because my dashes are a little bit different than Renee's dashes. And so we have to have a standard by which to measure something. That is the original recipe. So if you will turn with me to the book of Titus. In the book of Titus, in the second chapter, there is a very familiar passage that is little preached about, it's little taught on, and it's little lived in the world in which we live today. The book of Titus, chapter 2, we'll begin reading with verse 4. Let's begin with verse 3, actually. It said, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And here is a recipe, and this is a recipe, and you could just add on the title of this message. It's for godly women. And there is instruction in this passage given to the aged men. There's instruction given to the aged women. And there was instruction given to the young women and to the young men. This is Mother's Day. And I would, by the help of the Lord, like to share what the Lord put on my heart, and that is an original recipe for a godly woman. And there is something that we're going to give a little bit of explanation about, because it said that they may teach. He was talking about the aged women. That they may teach the young women. And so the first question that is often asked is, then why are you preaching about it? Because it says for the aged women to teach the younger women, correct? Do you know that this was, who this was written by? Who was this written by? It was written by man. It was written by Paul. It was written by Paul to a younger minister. And he was telling the younger minister, this is what you need to, in essence, you need to encourage the aged women to teach this to the younger women. There are things that a man can teach, because Paul wrote this. So there are things that I can share with you this morning. I can share with you what it says. And I can share some thoughts with you concerning it. But you know, I can't go in the kitchen and whip it up. I can't go make it. The greatest teaching is done by example, isn't it? I cannot give you an example personally of what I'm going to share with you this morning. I can give you the recipe. I can tell you what's in the Word of God. But it takes the younger sisters looking to the aged women to not only verbalize, because we have the recipe here, and it came by way of a man's mouth, a man's pen, and yet to really see it at work, to taste it, to watch it happen, it's going to have to be by looking at the aged women. And I'm going to go a step further, and I say this by permission and not by commandment. There are some things, as even as a minister grows older, that he can address, and I believe I have the liberty to address it here this morning, that would not be appropriate for a young, unmarried man to address to his sister counterparts in the church. In other words, there are some things that in this recipe that are given, that I've been married, working real close to 30 years, it'll be 28 years this year, that there are some things that I could bring out that would be appropriate, would not be out of order. But it would be out of order for the young men to get up and try to tell the young sisters some of these things. It just would not be proper. And that's a little lesson you young men need to get hold of. You have a responsibility to take care of yourself. You set an example, and it's not your place to go try to tell the other sisters, the young sisters, how to live their life. You pray for them. But it's not your job to go tell them how to live. Well, Paul gave us a recipe, so I hope that answers some questions. It's been asked. It gets asked frequently. So how can a man preach on these things? That's the reason a man can preach on it, but I can't go in the kitchen and cook it. It takes an older sister to do it. And again, my counsel is, you young men, you leave the young sisters alone. You have your hands full with yourself. You dress right. You live right. You act right. You talk right. And you commit them into the hands of the Lord. All right. So he went on then and he began to give us a recipe that largely has been rejected by the world. This is a recipe for godly women. It's something that most people in the world say, I don't like that. I don't like the ingredients. But do you know with a really good recipe, you can take even ingredients that don't, maybe by themselves don't look good, and you mix them together, and you come out with a really good product. There's going to be a few things mentioned this morning, maybe that some of you have never heard before. There might be things touched on that you may say, well, I'm not sure. I don't really go along with that. But do you know if our desire is to please the Lord, it should be, I want a good product. I want to know what the Lord wants. And that's what we have here. He said that they may teach the young women to be sober. That's an ingredient. To be sober. To love their husbands. To love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. And you know the reason he said? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Do you not think that it's right to teach and preach and give instruction on something that could cause the word of God to be blasphemed in people's lives? He gave instruction. I want to say again, I greatly appreciate the wonderful heritage of godliness and holiness that we have represented here this morning. I've read to you the recipe here, but it's going to take the older sisters to show you how to do it. It's a recipe that brings about successful outcomes. You young women want to be successful wives and mothers. You want to be successful in the things of God. This is the original recipe. This is what God gave. Untouched by the generations of men and women that have passed through. This bypasses the feminist movement. It bypasses the generation that we are living in today that is seeking to make men and women the same in essence, physically, and in how they act, in the roles, in the home that they fill. They're trying to tear down the barriers between men and women. It's what our culture's about. And these types of things are rarely talked about because if you do, people are going to say you're crazy. But I want to tell you, this is the original recipe. You want a happy home this morning? You want the Lord's blessings on your life? This is what the Lord said to do. And you will find that when you do this, it will bring the peace and joy of God because it's being done in obedience to the Word of God. Well, for successful outcomes in the home, we need to follow the pattern that the Scripture gave us because people in the world are putting out a different doctrine. But my question is this, how is it working for them? They're saying, well, in marriage it needs to be this way. My question is, are marriages stronger today than they used to be? Are husbands and wives happier than they used to be? Are the parents serving their children better in today's society than they did years gone by? Then why do people ridicule the original recipe? They think they're enlightened. They will try to make you feel like you just don't get it. You're subpar intellectually to hold to some of these truths that we've read about this morning. But my question is, if the world has it so much better, why aren't they doing better? Why aren't their marriages stronger? Why aren't they happier? You know what the answer is this morning? It's get back to the original. Get back to the original recipe. So let's investigate just briefly these ingredients, because a godly woman is not an inferior product. Now you young sisters, right, get hold of this. A godly woman is not an inferior product. Do you know in business and manufacturing and even in cooking, if you want a quality product, what do you have to use? Quality ingredients. Something that's good and fresh. Quality ingredients make quality products. This morning, you want to be a quality woman of God, you get quality ingredients. Follow the recipe like he said here. There are qualities that were listed here and attributes that should be fostered in your life. And I want to encourage the young women to do that. Foster these things in your life. Water these things in your garden. Sometimes we look at our lives, and this applies to men and women alike, and we see things that we need to change. Do you know when you make or follow a recipe, it's like, oh, I put in a little bit too much of that. I need to take a little bit of that out. Or I need to go get something. I need to add something more to it because I didn't have on hand what the recipe called for. Need to make a trip to the store. How many of you all have gone to the store and said, I don't have what I need for the recipe. Going to have to run to town. Do you know this morning, I know some people dread Mother's Day. Do you know that? Some people don't like coming to service on Mother's Day. Because they don't want to go home feeling guilty. They don't want to go home feeling bad, like I just didn't quite measure up. My wife told me, I'll just make it innocuous. She told me about someone that would stay up all night about the night before Mother's Day and clean the house real good so they could go to service with a clear conscience. I mean, I thought, well, everybody would have known the reality if you had to stay up all night. But you know, the thing is that there was something I just want to be sure. I don't want anybody to go home feeling bad today. All right? Don't want anybody to go home. But if you're lacking an ingredient, maybe it's something you didn't know was in the recipe. Don't feel bad about it, but just say, Lord, help me understand that. Maybe I wasn't quite following that like I should have. Don't feel bad about it. It's the Lord's mercy that He shows all of us things that we could add or change in our lives. Well, let's get into these ingredients a little bit. He said young women are to be sober. You know, you don't hear that talked a lot about anymore. Young women being sober. What you hear about today is just do whatever you want to do, whatever comes out of your mouth, whatever feels good. Sisters, that's a recipe to destroy your marriage, is to let come out of your mouth whatever comes to your mind first. So the scripture says, young women, to be sober. By definition, it means to be disciplined. It means to be wise. Means, it's really in the Greek, it's in the same as he taught the aged men where he said to be sober, to be temperate. It means to be temperate. It means to be moderate. Self-restrained. Do you know young women need to learn to be self-restrained? Controlled. Not giving in. It means disciplined. Everyone has emotions. But do you know it is a wise woman. It's a wise man too. It's a wise person that learns to bring their emotions into balance and not to give vent, because decisions that are made out of emotion are usually bad decisions because it's based on feeling. And how often are feelings accurate? How often, those of you that are married, and please do not raise your hand. This is Mother's Day and I want everyone to have a really good day. But has there ever been a time that maybe the wife has said, but I feel, and the husband's like, but your feelings aren't commensurate with reality. That, in other words, I didn't say that, or that's not what they did, or that's not what happened, but I feel. We cannot make decisions off of feelings, because feelings come and go, don't they? For all of us, feelings come and go, which means, he said, it's a key ingredient In this original recipe for a godly woman, he said, learn to be sober. We all have emotions, but learn to bring those emotions in control and not just give free vent. It doesn't mean you can't have emotions and share those with your husband. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But don't let your emotions drive how you conduct yourself in the home. Older sisters, it's your job to show the younger sisters how to do that. It means not under the influence. Sober. What are people under the influence of today? Under the influence, it's not just alcohol and drugs. It's under the influence of social media, under the influence of their peers, under the influence of people that are going the way of the world, and they're putting pressures on. And the Lord's saying, hey, here's a recipe. Be sober-minded. Be sober. Don't give vent. Don't give in. But be aware and diligent, disciplined. Disciplined in appetites. That appetites are cravings. Lawful appetites. Do you know that that's part of sobriety? Is learning to be disciplined, whether it is in the food we eat, whether it's in time management, or how we spend money. Part of being sober is bringing those things under control, not emotional spending. Oh, it was a great deal. There will be a great deal next year too, I guarantee you. But if you don't have the money, then don't be spending it. There are some ladies, and I know some men some sisters can be shoveling it out faster than their husband can bring it home. You know, that puts a lot of strain on the marriage. The number one cause of marital problems is money issues. Young women, be sober. Self-restraint. He went on to say, and part of being sober means considering future consequences. If I say this, what are the consequences? If I do that, what are the consequences? In other words, it's more than just living for the moment. It's looking forward. And I really didn't think this was going to be a series, and you sisters may hope it's not a series. But he said, be sober. He said to love their husbands, and we're going to come back to that, because this word then in verse 5, it says to be discreet. That word in the Greek also means temperate. So when we talk about sober and discreet, they're very similar in what they're referring to. It means to be circumspect. Be aware of what's going on. Be discreet. Don't tell everything you know. Don't say everything that you heard. But learn to be discreet. Be socially aware of what's going on around about you. You know, that's part of being discreet. Being aware. How your behaviors will impact others, and be aware socially of things that are going on, and learn to bring balance to how you conduct yourself. Temperate, careful. He said chaste. You know what chaste, it means modest. To be chaste. Modest of spirit. That's on the inside, and also modest on the outside. Pure means be clean. You know, when the world looks on us and looks on a godly woman, they ought to see that glow. They ought to see, and sometimes people say, well, I can dress however I want, because it's man that looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. But do you know what that tells me? If man's looking on the outward appearance, and we're supposed to be a light to people looking on, the first impressions are gained by what people see, isn't it? So that's where outward holiness, inward holiness is most important. But outward holiness is how people gain their first impressions. And they ought to see that glow. And so he told part of the original recipe for a godly woman was, he said, to be chaste, be modest. Don't feed on the glamour and the immodesty of the world. You know, too many of it seems like the younger ones, it seems like the enemy's vying hard to help them to see the glamour of the world. There is nothing more beautiful than the way that God made it. God made each one of us unique individuals. We don't need to cover up what He made us to be. We need to learn to accept that this is how God wants me to be, and I want to live close to the Lord. And you know, there'll be a shine there. There'll be a shine. But the glamour of this world, it doesn't bring happiness. It will not bring happiness to your marriage. It will not bring satisfaction in the home. It will not bring peace in the family. But being chaste is part of the original recipe. It's one of those ingredients. The scripture in 1 Timothy, and we'll just briefly say it, it says in like manner that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Here's that word sober again. Not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness. That's the original recipe. This wasn't just the way that you see a godly woman living. Do you know that's more than just tradition? You young ladies and you young men, I want you to know something. You can say, well, is it just tradition why the sisters, you know, wear dresses? Is that just tradition? My answer to you this morning is no. It's more than tradition. Modest apparel in the Greek means kosmios katastole. Modest apparel. That's what, and I know we don't speak Greek here, but do you know what that means in Greek? It means a garment let down. A garment that is let down and flowing. In other words, if something's flowing, it's not too what? Not too tight. Gotta get, you know, we'll leave that for the older sisters. But if something's not flowing, if it's too tight. And if it's not let down, that means something let down, like a robe in biblical times, a dress, a skirt. That's a garment let down. That's what the Bible says. And it's also being part of modesty is being covered, but it's not just being covered. Some people have this idea that, well, I'm wearing a dress, it's okay. But if it's tight, it's not modest. If it's form-fitting, it's not modest. And so when the scripture teaches, it goes back again to this original recipe. It says chaste, a garment that is let down and flowing and is it covers. It's modest. It's chaste. Doesn't have to cause someone to look away because it's becoming as a woman professing godliness. Is this Bible? These are the ingredients that the Lord has given. Well, we're not going to spend a lot more time, but He said to love their husbands. You know that happiness in a marriage relationship is not just founded on, it's not founded in prestige at all. Wealth, how much money you have does not make a happy marriage. Then why are so many decisions in marriages being made about on money? Are we letting finances drive relationships? Have you ever thought about that? He said the young women are to love their husbands. It's not money, and it's also not just courtesy and politeness. You know, someone can be courteous and polite, but not love. They can be courteous. It's like, where's the love? Selfish? Just want it your way? That's not love. You can be polite and courteous all the time, and it's selfish. Young women are to learn to love their husbands. And again, I can't give you the example. Look to the older sisters. But to learn to put the welfare of their husbands above their own with true love and true care. And the scripture says as another ingredient, it says obedient to their husbands. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many do you think like that ingredient? I love being obedient to my husband. You know, a lot in the world, people would say, I don't like that one, let's take it out. But do you know what happens when you take something out of the recipe? You get a different product, don't you? Something else comes out of the oven. It's like, this isn't what I've eaten before. The scripture says to be obedient. And when is obedient? It's not just when you agree. It's when you disagree. And to the men, and this isn't to the men today, but to the men, I'll tell you, sisters, it's something to have a husband that loves you as Christ loves the church. It means he's putting your welfare above his own. That's beautiful. But to the sisters, he said, be obedient. Be in subjection. This will bring peace, even if you have a difficult husband. Because when you do it God's way, this is what brings the peace in the spirit. Being in subjection, in obedience, with a meek and a quiet spirit, recognizing by word and by conduct the place of leadership in the home that belongs to the husband. You know, I've heard people say, yes, my husband's the head, but... And you look at how they act, and it's like, are you sure your husband... I haven't asked him this. Are you sure the husband's the head? You say that you are in subjection, but you're calling all the shots. You're making all the decisions. And anything that needs to be done, it's always the wife. Do you know that is not according to the original recipe? Some people say, well, my husband's not stepping up. How long has it been since women that say that have stepped back and say, you know what? I've kind of been intruding in my husband's territory over the years. Pretty soon we've got this role reversal going on. It's time to get back to the original recipe that the young women should learn how to love their husbands and honor them as the head of the home and being in subjection to them. This will bring stability to a home. It may be difficult to say amen this morning, but this is the original recipe. Love their children, and we'll be done real shortly here. I apologize. I know it's a little bit longer, but he said to love their children. Maternal love is something that's being lost in our world today. People are, and it goes right along with the next thing he said. He said to be keepers at home. Do you know that's Bible? That's more than tradition, saints. This is the original recipe for the structure of the home. A wife, a mother, is to be a keeper at home. Her first role and priority should be in making that home a place that is attractive and a loving environment for her husband and for her children. And that means that all other duties should come secondary to that. It means, and I'm going to go a step, it means education. Now understand, education is important. It means education. It means finances. It means the work of the Lord. In other words, actively, well, I'm doing this for the mission field, or I'm doing this for this person over here. At the sacrifice of the home is a blight on a Christian home. First priority is for a wife and a mother to be a keeper at home. That is not being taught in our world today. I want you, especially again, you younger sisters, to know there is nothing more valuable than being a keeper at home. It doesn't mean that a woman is less intelligent, less capable, not in by any stretch of the imagination, but it means that for a home to function and work like God ordained it, a woman should not be farming out someone to care for her children. I'm not saying there's never a time for a babysitter, don't misunderstand me, but I'm saying that it is the function and the role primarily of a mother to take care of her children and raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. We live in a society that's paying someone else to do it. And I have someone I work with sometimes, and they'd say, yeah, the only time we, my husband and I see our children, just like we have like an hour. And we're just trying to get them fed and get them to bed. And so they're thinking about quitting their job. And I told this young woman, they're newly, hadn't been married real long. And I told her, it's a place of business. I said, you know what? I said, I support that decision. Put your children first. Doesn't last very long. Put your children first. Whatever sacrifices you have to make. The scripture says to be a keeper at home. Keep the house closely. Create an environment of peace. In the home, it's not of secondary importance, sisters. That means you young sisters that aren't married yet, it means now is the time to prepare yourself. Time to prepare yourself to be that valuable, glowing, shining, praiseworthy, godly sister that knows how to be a keeper at home. I know there are some situations that a woman has to go out when a man is not able, and there are certain situations, but do you know that ought to be the exception rather than the rule? But we're finding in our society today that it's geared to a two-person income. There's a lot more that could be said on that. Do you know, I haven't seen the saints suffering a whole lot. See, you go back to the original recipe, it works, doesn't it? It works. Man goes out, provides for his family, and mom's there taking care of the children and raising them and being there providing a home. And that's a full-time job when it's done right. It's a full-time plus job. So we honor you, sisters, and we appreciate it. Keeper at home also means, it also means a guardian. It's what it means to be a guardian of the house, watching for the spiritual welfare of what comes in the home, of what your children are involved with. If you're not there, you won't know. Sometimes it's hard enough to know if you are there. But there is something about a wife and a mother being there. My mother is a very capable person. Very capable person. But you know, every day when we got home from school, she was there. She was industrious. She worked hard. Not only in keeping the house, but in other things. I have a wife that works so much in the gospel work. Talented, capable. Do you know, we don't despise you, sisters. We appreciate that you have chosen to put God first and be a guardian of the home. And I would that you younger sisters and you younger brothers, I'm going to point my finger a little bit, all right? Is that okay? You younger brethren need to appreciate and value those young women that will say, I want to be that keeper at home. I want to go back to the original recipe to be there that God could bless our home. Well, he said good. In closing, he said good. It means kind, good-natured. Sisters, please don't be the reason your husband wants to work overtime. You know what I mean by that? I'd rather stay and work out in the office just a little bit longer because I know what I'm going to face when I walk in the door. So I'd rather just get a little bit of overtime. You be there to provide a home. Be kind, good-natured, loving. Make it inviting that your husband can't wait to get home to see your smiling face. And it doesn't mean that you don't have challenges and rough days just like your husband does. And that's why we're there to support one another. But you have a high calling this morning. And the reason he gave us this original recipe was that the word of God be not blasphemed. When we deviate from this, there's something wrong. The home is not stable. And people look on and say, I'm not quite sure. It's just not quite right. It's because we've strayed from the original recipe and our world is working hard to cause us as a people to stray from it. I want to encourage us to stay the course with this morning because it's proven itself. I've looked at the older sisters and I can say it worked. I want my daughter to follow that example. My mother, my wife, they chose that course. It worked. I can recommend it to you this morning. And then her children will rise up and call her blessed and her husband, which praiseth you. Thank you, sisters. Thank you for your time. I know it was a little longer than usual this morning. You think Mother's Day maybe be a little shorter. But just, we appreciate you all. And I want to encourage you young folks to get back to this original recipe. If you need to add something to it or take something, maybe you've added your own ingredients. Let's stay by this because this is what works. Amen.